This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with NewsWest for Sunday the 28th of November 2021. NewsWest today is the Anything Goes edition, and we have a nice mixed bag of stories and news for you. Mac VK6MM tells his story, Mike tells an amusing anecdote, and I sing you a song about 10 green bottles. Be grateful for small mercies, because I'm not actually going to sing. There's an entertaining yarn about a local ham who went portable, with things not turning out quite right, and we take a look at how windows can give us a hard time as amateurs and what to do about it. NewsWest is an independent amateur radio news service where the news is for amateurs and about amateur radio. NewsWest is broadcast at a variety of times on a range of frequencies and is available online and on demand. Our website is vk6.net. Find out more there. An email arrived only today, that's Friday, from the ACMA, and attached was the ACMA's response to submissions to the review of non-assigned amateur licensing arrangements. It's a huge phrase, isn't it? It arrived too late to prepare any analysis of the outcomes in time for today's news broadcast. Suffice to say that the link has been posted to Facebook groups and email lists, and the best thing you can do is to read it for yourself to better prepare yourself to deal with the comments and reviews and even rants by others. There will be rants because change is always challenging. I've asked someone to prepare a review of the document, hopefully in time for next week. However, it will take time, and we can expect the usual social media dust-ups meanwhile. So we'll do our best to bring it to you next week. Failing that, maybe the week after, because it's quite a big document.
CAT, or computer-assisted transmission, has been around for quite some time now. In fact, it was around well before USB ports started sprouting on our computers. Connecting the computer to the radio consisted of some sort of audio, both-way transfer between the two boxes, and a push-to-talk, usually activated via a serial port. You could make your own interface with a small inventory of parts. Cable, plugs, isolating transformers if you want, a transistor, a small capacitor here and there, and little else. Most amateurs could knock up one in an hour or two, and the hardest part was deciding which design to choose out of dozens available on the internet. The beauty of these simple interfaces was that they required no drivers to be installed. Yes, you have to tell the software which sound card and which serial port you were using, but that was it. There are commercially built interfaces available if you'd rather splash some money around rather than homebrew it. With the advent of USB, and by the way, USB stands for Universal Serial Bus, connecting peripherals to your computer became easier, basically plug and play. Radio manufacturers began to make their radios more intelligent and capable of being controlled and activated by a long list of control commands, which can be utilized by software to perform nearly all of the functions available on the radio. To do this, simple cables were developed that plug into a USB port on the computer and the other end into a socket provided in the radio for that purpose. Magic! These USB cables had their own little bit of chip-driven intelligence, which needed a driver to make them work. Well, that was fine, and they worked. In a very short time, other manufacturers copied the USB to serial chip and launched their copycat cables and devices onto the market. The original chip maker several years ago, and to get the timing right, think Windows 8, asked Microsoft to block the counterfeit chips by using a driver that will only work on the genuine chip. Windows started to install its new driver over the top of the counterfeit one, rendering the device inoperable. Until the savvy user finds an old driver from before Windows 8, which works well. So begins the round of fights you'll have with Windows. The driver is usually kiboshed when Windows does an update. Suddenly, your non-genuine USB to serial devices stop working. The fix is simple. Your old driver is still there. You only need to go to the device manager and point Windows back to the old driver. You need to either take note of which serial port has been allocated or enter the advanced chip setup and allocate the serial port number. You then just need to ensure that your software apps are pointing to the right serial port number, and off you go to get on air and make more noise. Simple, really.
G'day, this is Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI, with news about the upcoming Slow CW corroboree. The PL Amateur Radio Group in Western Australia continues to promote CW for both newcomers to the art and oldies like me who've let the skill wither on the vine somewhat. The event will be open to all amateurs and shortwave listeners, irrespective of where they call home. So the group will run the 3-hour, 80-metre Slow CW corroboree on Sunday morning, December the 4th. Times are from 2300 Zulu on December 3rd to 0200 Zulu on December 4th, which is, of course, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. WA time or 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on December the 4th. So this event is designated as a corroboree, reflecting its nature as a friendly opportunity to get together and have fun rather than trying to crack any records. So it's a great opportunity for anyone who's thinking about exploring the art of CW to have a go in a safe, simple and mainly fun environment. So SOTA and VKFF folks who'd like to get the best bang for their QRP buck, for instance, might find this useful, and it'll also be a great fun. It'll be great fun for CW oldies as well. And you don't have to try to stretch your near vertical incidence 80 metre propagation to reach WA at that time. All contacts, anywhere, will score points, providing you exchange call signs, RSTs and serial numbers. So for details, go to the PARG website, that is www.parg.org.au. So that's Papa Alpha Romeo Golf.org.au, and click on the What's New page to find the link to the SCW December 21 area. So here you'll find the event guidelines and even a handy dandy hints page on simple slow CW QSOs. And by the way, thank you to all who participated in the third PL Amateur Radio Group Slow CW Powwow, which was held in September. Congratulations to both Andrew, VK1DA, for taking out the event, and the runner-up, John, VK3BSE. So, noted in your diary, it's the 3-hour, 80-metre Slow CW corroboree on December 4th, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern or 7 a.m. WA time. Cheers, and hope to catch you on that Saturday morning. I'm Mark Bosmer, VK2KI and VK6QI, for the Peel Amateur Radio Group.
A well-known amateur of this parish went down south for a short break recently, and although he wasn't going for the purpose of playing radios, he decided to take some gear and have a go. It not being a trip for radio purposes, the usual overload of boxes and crates full of bits and pieces that are taken just in case they are needed wasn't packed. A lesser amount of equipment, bare basics only, was packed. Wet and cold weather dampened his enthusiasm for some days, then finally the sun was out and all was well. So he left the spousal attenuator to her own devices, jumped into the car and drove to a bush location about 10 minutes away. It only took a few minutes to get out the radio and connect it to the auxiliary battery in the car, sling the linked dipole into a tree, run the coax into the back of the antenna tuning unit, and, oh no, there wasn't a patch lead to go from the tuner to the radio. So that put pay to the thought of picking up a few contacts. It was infuriating. Fancy forgetting that bit of cable. And what made it worse was that a few bands were alive. Europe on 20 metres, the USA and the other side of Australia on 40 metres, Japan on 10 metres. All being heard loud and clear, but the SWR was too high to transmit with. The hapless fellow wasn't thinking straight. He built the link dipole himself with almost perfect SWR on each of its three bands, and a tuner shouldn't have been needed. But now the SWR was high. What went wrong? It was simple, really, but he didn't work it out on the day. And the answer was so simple. When you string a wire die pile up, its characteristics are affected by a few things. These include height above the ground, and in an inverted V formation, the included angle at the top of the V affects the feed point impedance. Other factors are proximity to trees, large objects, and thick amateur radio operators. So our highly motivated but hopelessly disappointed amateur packed up the equipment, said goodbye to the long dead skeletal kangaroo that was close by, and returned to the spousal attenuated, who asked, "How did it go, dear?"
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
How I got my amateur radio licence. Malcolm MacDonald, VK6MM, recorded 25th of November 2021. I was interested in wireless and all things electrical from an early age, and this was encouraged by my father. Jump ahead to leaving high school when I managed to just get enough points to gain admittance to university. My parents were willing to take a gamble, so I duly enrolled in engineering and demonstrated my ability by passing 2 out of 6 first-year subjects. I used national service training over the summer holiday as an excuse for not studying for the supplementary mathematics exam offered me, with the inevitable result. Not willing to admit defeat, it was suggested that I enrol in the recently implemented electronic engineering course offered by the Perth Technical College. After several more years of accumulating a series of passes, failures and repeats, the situation became rather complicated. Because of the quite small number of students, not all subjects ran every year, so in order to create a full timetable for me, it was necessary to enrol in subjects from an allied course, Communications Engineering. The college principal around this time was George Heyman, VK6GH, who believed in including some practical subjects in courses, to wit, Morse and Procedure, which is allegedly at the level of a seagoing Class 2 commercial licence. This provided me with a piece of paper stating that I had passed an examination to send and receive Morse code in plain language at a speed of 20 words per minute. What a joke. I never used it and have never been proficient in it. After stumbling on for another year or two, it seemed like I was a permanent fixture at the college. One of the lecturers, Les Bradshaw, VK6EB, even made a comment that I must be due for long service leave. By this time, my parents decided that enough was enough and dictated that I seek some sort of paid activity. Fast forwarding over a number of rejections, WA Broadcasters, VK6IX, WBMD and BY, were seeking a control operator for their studios in Murray Street above Musgroves Limited. In those days, it was a requirement to have a qualified operator in attendance at all transmitters. Communication between the country stations and the Perth studio was by means of Morse, utilising the program line as a cost-saving exercise. I got the job by not revealing that I really wasn't proficient at Morse. Alex Stewart, VK6AS, the top-class operator, was relieving at one of the country stations when one evening he received a request to broadcast a lost dog call. We could break into individual program lines at the studio, so the idea was that I would write down the details for the announcer to read out for just the relevant transmitter. No point in Perth and the rest of the southwest knowing about a lost dog in Katanning. It was such a struggle that Alec never tried that again. Back to the point of this dissertation. Cliff Mewling, the engineer responsible for the studios, prompted me to study for a broadcast operator certificate of proficiency and lent me his copy of Nilsson and Hornung, the Bible at the time. Somewhat amazingly, I obtained a BOCP without any failures along the way. Fast forward again, introduction of the Amateur Operators Limited Certificate of Proficiency. The radio branch of the Postmaster General's Department was responsible for examinations and issuing of a range of licences, including the BOCP, AOCP, and now the AOLCP, which had the same theory and regulations sections as the AOCP. Possession of a BOCP gave exemption from the theory section, but not the amateur regulations. John Skibbingen, then VK6ZAN and now VK6JO, goaded me into sitting for the amateur regulations paper, which I passed. A pass was valid for only 1 year, so after about 50 weeks, I forced a round to it to the top of the pile and became a VK6ZBQ. And so we come to the end of the story. CQ, CQ, CQ. This is VK6ZBQ calling you on 2.
10 green bottles hanging on the wall. 10 green bottles hanging on the wall. And if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'll be 9 green bottles.
Well, here I am talking about the Wireless Institute of Australia again. And it's not because I hate them, because I don't hate the Wireless Institute, but because amateur radio in Australia needs the Wireless Institute to thrive. And it isn't. It isn't thriving. I reckon about half the WIA's green bottles lie shattered on the floor by now. Last week I slipped into the WIA and their fanboys. I make no apology for that because what I said is true, based on real events and what's happening both at the Wireless Institute of Australia and with their self-appointed caretakers, the fanboys, is destructive and should be of concern to every member of the Wireless Institute. I know our news was listened to and there was a reaction by officers and fanboys of the Institute, but not a single one of them has communicated with us as a rebuttal or expressing any concern, so this confirms that we aren't spouting propaganda, and it really is time that those members who sit idly by, just waiting for the amateur radio magazine to drop into the letterbox, actually started doing something. Or there won't be an amateur radio magazine, and there won't be a Wireless Institute of Australia, and there will be a lesser voice in representation for the hobby. The Wireless Institute of Australia has no plan to pull itself out of the mire. I wonder if other amateur radio groups can help them recover. They really need to listen to someone with a plan. How many more green bottles can we afford to fall before the Wireless Institute is broken beyond repair?
An alternative use of radio components. We all know that if we grab hold of a resistor, it increases our resistance. And likewise, if we grab hold of a capacitor, it increases our capacitance. What about valves that glow in the dark recesses? Well, there was this stockman up in the north of Western Australia, a hardy type, who had a problem, a medical problem. Piles, actually. The radio transmissions that followed brought the house down. Stockman speaking on the radio. It's my piles, Doc. Over. They were hanging out and giving me gyppo. I couldn't ride and I couldn't sit. I tried everything from magnesium sulfate to rum. Nothing worked. Except if I rammed my fist up my ass, there was quite a bit of relief. But I can't go around with my fist up my backside all day, so I looked about for something else to put there. I saw the spare 5KA 6V6 valve on top of the radio set, and it looked just the thing. So I took it out of the packet, put a bit of Vaseline on it, and stuffed it halfway up. Oh, the relief was wonderful, Doc. All the pain went away, and I could get about doing my jobs. After a while, I forgot about the valve and stopped for a smoke. I put the billy on and started to roll a curly. There was a nice big log handy, so I sat down. And now the valve's up inside and I can't get it out. I've tried to have a crap, but nothing happens. It's jammed inside. Somehow, Doc, I've been buggered by a bloody radio. Over. The next day, the poor stockman was picked up by the flying doctor and admitted to hospital. X-rays were taken. And sure enough, there sitting in the middle like a Jackie was a nice new 5KA 6V6G power output tetrode valve. A proctoscope was inserted, grasping one of the prongs of the 6V6 valve, and out it came. A nurse cleaned it up, and when the stockman was discharged, the doctor handed the 5KA 6V6 valve, as it was still in good working order, and he may need it for his pedal radio sometime. With grateful thanks to the publisher for permission to put this piece to air. This is Michael, VK6 Kilo Mike Sierra.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
The News West Monthly Club Focus program is coming up soon. In fact, it's coming up next week. You know how it goes. We seek items from clubs to promote the club, brag about what the club did recently, or to let members and others know what's coming up. If your club wasn't represented in last month's Club Focus, it's because someone didn't send stuff in. If your club doesn't have a club publicity officer, feel free to jump in and put up an article for your club. A quick shout out to a few clubs. Buenos dias, Bunbury Radio Club. Greetings to the Geraldton Amateur Radio Group. Howdy to the Hills Amateur Radio Group. Namaste, Northern Corridor Radio Group. Paging the Peel Amateur Radio Group. Shalom, Southern Electronics Group. What's up, Western Australia Repeater Group? What's happening, Weiss and Western Australia? At News West, we'd love to hear from your club. All contributions must be received by noon Friday, because we got to put the thing together. Earlier is even better. We prefer MP3 mono 256 kilobit quality. And if you can't do MP3s, another format's okay, but please use the highest quality available to you, and we'll take care of the rest. If you can't record, no matter, just write to us to let the News West team know what you've been up to. And if you want us to record it, the earlier you send it, the better. Our email address again is newswest@vk6.net.
This is News West from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
There's a little over a month to go for the annual Ross Hull Contest Marathon, all of January 2022. Read the rules, understand the rules, and ask questions if you don't understand how they apply. One of the frequently asked questions is, I'm entering in another contest over the month. Can my contacts count in the Ross Hull? Well, yes, of course they can. However, you must do two things. First, you must exchange the requirement of the Ross Hull Marathon, and that's a signal report and a serial number, and if possible, a six-digit grid square. This is not a requirement to be exchanged over the air. You can use other methods. Second, if the contest you're in allows multiple contacts, you need to include all contacts, not cherry-pick. If the station worked has misheard you, then you may be penalising yourself. Above all, the Ross Hull is a celebration of the amazing life of a pioneer of amateur radio. Enjoy the contest, and we look forward to hearing you on the bands. This is Trent, VK4TS, for the Ross Hull Contest 2022.
Have you seen the QTC magazine that's produced by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia? That's RASA. QTC is an e-mag, an electronic magazine, and it's in a new on-screen format from the last edition. QTC has a good range of technical and news items, and here comes the good bit. It's free. You don't have to be a member of anything to view it or download it. No logins, no nothings. Just go to qtcmag.com and start reading the magazine and the back copies. QTC is best viewed on tablets or larger monitors. By using your browser, you get the magazine look and feel with embedded videos. That's right, embedded videos and dynamic hot links, which allow you to click through to external websites as well as advertisers' web pages. If you prefer, you can still read a PDF version. There's a separate download button for the PDFs. Earlier editions are also available. And there's another free amateur radio e-magazine that again is full of interesting and helpful items. This one comes from Canada, from a group in British Columbia called Surrey Amateur Radio Communications. The magazine is called The Communicator and is published bi-monthly. The latest edition is November-December. To find this magazine on the internet, the easiest way is to search for Victor Echo 7 SARC, VE7SARC, Sierra Alpha Romeo Charlie. And you're on your way. Now, I know it's not Club Focus Week, however, let's talk a bit about a club. This club has provided amateur radio education and examinations for more than 15 years in Perth. They've introduced newcomers to the hobby and guided others to a higher grade of licence. I don't know the numbers, but they would have run more courses and conducted more exams than any other club in Western Australia. And that's not surprising, because Ham College was set up for that purpose, and they do a damn good job of it. We've just gone past the anniversary of the death of Neil, VK6BDO, Silent Key, the founder of Ham College. Getting to the point of why I'm talking about a club when it's not Club Focus Week is that some people are confusing Ham College with the Australian Maritime College. We all know that the AMC is part of the University of Tasmania, and that it's in Hobart, and that they manage the amateur radio exams and issue call signs and certificates of proficiency on behalf of the ACMA. What some people don't know is that Ham College is not the AMC. It seems that the Ham College is fielding calls from people looking for their exam results or call signs. I guess that's an easy confusion, however. There's a role you out there can play. If you hear someone being confused between Ham College and the Australian Maritime College, please put them straight. Nicely, of course. But we shouldn't need to tell you to be nice, should we?
Good morning once again, Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's Hotline Disposal segment for the 28th of November 2021. Today, required urgently by Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu, to complete a assembly of a HF quad, looking for 2 or 3 metres of 44.5mm outside diameter aluminium tube with 2mm wall or thereabouts. Even a metre or two would be helpful. In the old measure, that 1¾ inches in diameter. And if you can help with that aluminium tube, please contact Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu. He will collect anywhere around the Perth metropolitan area. Payment in dollars or stubbies. Please text on 0408 183742. Again, that 0408 183742. Text or phone or email to Sierra Tango Echo, Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Again, it's Sierra Tango Echo, Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Next item for sale is a Kenwood TS50 HF transceiver with mic and power lead in hard carrying case. Price reduced to $550 or nearest offer. That's $550 or nearest offer. Please contact Neville, Victor Kilo 6 Juliet Delta Whiskey on 0439 197 450. 0439 197 450. Thank you to our sponsor. Or email to Victor Kilo 6 Juliet Delta Whiskey at gmail.com. Victor Kilo 6 Juliet Delta Whiskey at gmail.com. And Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet, may still be having a antenna for sale, auto-tune antenna. It's an Alpha Tango Alpha Sierra 120 auto-tune antenna. Suits the Yaesu range of transceivers. Asking $300. Pickup only. Contact Steve. It's VK6 Sierra Juliet. His email address is Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo at kennedy-sj.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo at kennedy-sj.com.au. Or you may phone 0403-401479. That's all I have for you this morning. Very short list. I'm sorry about that. Anyone like to check in for next week, please call or email to vk6xrayvictor at bigpond.com. And I'll attend to your needs. If difficult, it'll take a little longer, but we'll persevere. The email address, for those who do not know, is vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. This is VK6 X-Ray Victor, now saying 7-3.
Well, thanks for dropping by. Here at News West, we bring you amateur radio news, and we're always on the lookout for stories. Thanks to Mac for sending us his interesting story. You can send your story as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net. The studio team this week was Mike, Roy, and Andrew, as usual, sweeping the cutting room floor. Jeff took a sickie, which is why you heard a bit more of me. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer. Thanks to everyone involved in broadcasting the amateur radio news programs. I'm looking forward to collating your club news next week, and you can't pull the wool over my eyes by saying nothing's happening, because I know you're all up to some good stuff. Please stick around for the callbacks, and if you can't, jump onto our website, vk6.net, and record your callbacks there. You can also use the callback button to give some feedback on News West. We love feedback, it massages the ego, even negative feedback. So, do the callbacks, then top up your beverage and get on air and make some noise.